so. Kuf Lamed Bet. And we'll see. Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, wrote four tshuvas on this topic. We read one of them last time, but I want to read it much more carefully. This tshuva was written to Moshe Feinstein, his son-in-law, in 1976. And this tshuva has many aspects that are very significant, and according to those who interpret the tshuva in the following way, essentially, Rav Moshe Feinstein over here does not really talk about organ donation, if you recall. Maybe we'll just review it quickly. We need a copy for Rabbi Goldschmidt and for Moshe. Rav Moshe is not here. Review the tshuva. Rav Moshe refers to the Mishnah. You can just look at the beginning. So what's the din? We said that if a person is under rubble, what's the halacha? Mefachim esagal afil b'shabbos. The halacha is you have to uncover the rubble. If there's a possibility, even a suffix, that a person might be even a 1% chance, a person might be alive, bokin, matchotbo, you go ahead and see if the respiratory system is working. And he quotes the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch halacha that basically the fundamental criteria that I want us to examine is bedikas hanashima. Namely, the Shema refers to a person's ability to exhale, respiration, and even if it's of a very light nature, that's a sign that a person is living. And the way that they used to test it is Man Chazal, with a feather, the piece of paper, etc., etc. If the paper is not fluttering or moving, that's a sign that the person is no longer living. But it has to be done a number of times. As Rav Moshe refers to another tshuva in Chelek Bezir of Deh Simen Kufayin Dalid, an explanation of a Rambam, because maybe the person fainted, or maybe somehow temporarily the person is out of commission, and then we have to ascertain this information. And again, as Rav Moshe writes to the end of the first paragraph, when they examine the matter, kol hazman below hesech hadas achlerega kodin bero shel anoshem kol ha'ez, they see the person has stopped breathing, and this is over an extended period of time. However, Rav Moshe says, since there's always the hesech hadas, so therefore, it might be that the person, in the interim, there was some breath which we didn't somehow discern. Therefore, you have to do it a number of times. And if you see the last three lines of the first paragraph, in Yiru, Shenu no Shen, if you see actually the person is no longer breathing, then of course it could be something like that, and at that point, obviously, the person is considered to have no longer any respiratory functionality, and therefore the person is no longer living. Paragraph 1. Paragraph 2, he writes, Zeu bistam cholim. This refers to stam cholim, she nikrav matzavam lemisa, where a person looks like he's approaching death. Below hutzuchu lemechona she yazvim linshom. It does not require a machine in order to help him breathe. Havalika cholim gedolim. There are situations where a person is very sick. So what do the doctors do? Second paragraph. The person now breathes through a machine, correct? As a result of that machine, I mean, he's no longer able to on his own independently breathe, but through the machine he's able to, shall we say, the machine assists him in the course of respiratory activity. And he writes further, even though he already died, the neshima kazu halamashavi. This kind of neshima, where a person is only breathing, not in his own, but rather breathing through the use of machinery, that's not called he's alive. He named in coma. Person's in a coma, but he's attached to a machine. You're not allowed to take him off the machine. Obviously, since the machine is assisting him to breathe, once you stop the machine, so then of course the person is no longer able to breathe. But once the machine stops, and that means, let's say they put it on a clock, so it's on for X number of hours. Shenechsar ha-oxygen, shahayashah. So then Moshe says, then obviously once you wait to see, does the person actually once again has his breathing, autonomous breathing been restored? Sometimes the machine is able to restore autonomous breathing. If that's the case, so then Moshe says, you don't put it back right away. And he points out, because if the person is no longer breathing, he's no longer breathing. But the point that Garosh is trying to make over here, seemingly, I'm going to discuss it in a moment, he says that if you see that he's breathing without the machine helped him restore his own autonomous breathing, ach bekoshi, even though it was with difficulty, ubehefseken, then you should once again put him back in the machine, because it's clear that this person perhaps is in a weakened state, and that's the reason why he has difficulty breathing, but the machine is assisting him, and therefore, hopefully he'll come to the point where his breathing will be restored. Paragraph 3. He writes, but what about a person who was in a car accident? This is paragraph 3. God forbid, a person fell from a high elevation. Clearly his lungs were affected, they may have collapsed, and he's not functioning, etc., etc. And obviously the only way he'll be able to function is attaching to all kinds of machinery. So he writes further, and Rabbi Tendler wrote him that there are ways of determining this. I'll get to this in a moment. Here our motion now relates to what issue? The issue of the connection to the brainstem or brainstem death. They're able to somehow determine, said our attendant to our Moshe, to his father-in-law, through injection of a certain chemical to know whether the brainstem is no longer functioning. So he says, the brainstem is dead, which we'll see in a little while. A little while means not today. It's based on a Mishnah in Olos. That you should not determine that he dies unless you do the examination which Rabbi Tendler suggested. I'll get to in a little while. If they see there's no connection between the body and the brain, even though he's not breathing, they should once again restore the machine, and in effect, then they'll decide whether he's living or not. Paragraph 4, began Hayarta. You also indicated the Be'elu Shalachu Minei Sam Gon Harbe Kaduri Shina. Sometimes a person takes many, many pills. The person ODs, correct, and all kinds of sleeping pills, and as a result, the person stops breathing. So then you have to wait a long period of time. You have to wait till the effect of the pills that he OD'd on, that wears off. And then you can go ahead and determine whether the person, shall we say, has own ability to breathe. And then Rav Moshe indicates that that would be the situation in that matter. So let's now summarize again the four parts of the tshuva. In the first part of the tshuva, he refers to the Mishnah, the Gemara in Yuma, with the house collapsing, a person is buried underneath, you have to remove the debris, you examine up to his nose, that's the Rambam, that's the Shulchan Aruch, correct, as long as you have any kind of nasal respiratory kind of movement, so then the person is considered to be alive, and even if he's very weak. And here, Rav Moshe clearly is talking about a patient without evidence of respiration, although we don't know anything about heart functioning. He doesn't say a word about the person's heart, and that we mentioned the Gemara's second determining factor. And here, Rabbi Tendler indicates that essentially breathing is that which is the determining factor. And again, just to point out, Moshe again refers to a din in Hilchos Avelos, and this is actually also in this paragraph number one, where there the Rambam says, Yishemat, that a person has to wait a short while before you determine whether a person is no longer living and the like. It means you want to rule out any other causes for a similar kind of situation. Let's say a person fainted, and the amount of time you have to wait is the length of time you can actually live without breathing. And of course you're observing the patient the whole time, and you have to repeat the examination several times. That's what Rav Moshe indicates to you over here in this first paragraph. Now, problem of course with this tshuva is that there is not any reference whatsoever to heartbeat. No discussion about the issue of the heart, cessation of heartbeat, that is to say. Here the focus seems to be purely what? Respiration. Without discussing the issue of the heart, and Unquestionably, there's no doubt that respiration is critical, but it's not the sole determinant of death, that's for sure. And even, again, I'm going to show you in the other tshuva, but I want to read it separately. The one that you have right before this is the one in Kuf Mem Vav, which I know she has the tshuva, Simani Hamisa, that he points out over there in the tshuva, that if you have a situation where a patient cannot breathe, that does not mean necessarily that the person is dead. Because it might very well be that even when a person is no longer breathing, but his heart is still functioning. There's still cardiac activity that's taking place. And again, sometimes it's only detectable by technological means, by using technology to determine whether that's true or not, but that's certainly a sign of continued life. So in this tshuva, he does not at all address that aspect of things. It's very significant that here he seems to focus solely on what? On the issue of respiration. Mashen Cain, obviously, there are other aspects here that are also critical. Beyond that, look in the first paragraph, the last line of the first paragraph, he quotes Ksam Sofer. I am Ksam Sofer Chelek Yodea Shabir Ba'orech. And here the problem is, what did he mean when he referred to the Ksam Sofer? Does he mean that respiratory criteria alone are sufficient to determine death? Correct? Or does he actually mean, no, that even in the fact that a person is no longer breathing, but still, as long as there's evidence of cardiac activity, so life is still extant, life is still operative. You hear what I just said? That's the last part of this paragraph number one. But the problem is, as I said, is that the next paragraph is very, very critical. And again, I should point out that our Tema, our Moshe son-in-law, wrote an article where he interprets this tshuva of his father-in-law. And that is the question, what exactly, whether Rabbi Tema's interpretation is the one that his father-in-law meant or not. Rabbi Tema understands this second section, that we're talking about a terminally ill patient. See what it says? Zel bistam cholim shenikrav matzavim lenisa v'lahutzichu lemazona. I mean, we're talking about what? A terminally ill patient who's not on a ventilator. But some people require a ventilator to support their breathing, and even though the patient's already dead, the person can continue to breathe because they're on a ventilator. And breathing of that kind, according to Rabbi Tema, is not called life. Because what does life mean? Life means that the person is able to breathe on his own. Not that he's breathing through a ventilator, through a machine. That's how he interprets this second paragraph. You have to read carefully the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. And therefore, the assumption is that the patient demonstrates no other signs of life. Take a look on the upper left-hand corner of the second paragraph. Third line, hine. If a person doesn't demonstrate any other sign of life, the patient doesn't appear to feel anything, even a pinprick, correct? And what he calls a coma, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. You're not allowed to remove the ventilator because the fear maybe he's still alive. And maybe what are you doing? You're killing him by turning off the ventilator. However, again, Rabbi Moshe says, if, let's say, you have an oxygen tank and you're going to replace the oxygen tank, correct? And now you can go ahead and observe. And you should see whether the patient, for let's say the next 15 minutes, is he going to be breathing on his own or not. And then, let's say we're talking about the situation where the oxygen is being used rather than having oxygen piped in. So again, Rav Moshe said the ventilator should not be restarted. Till when? Till for 15 minutes. Because while the ventilator is off, the tank is being replaced, something along those lines. There's no evidence of respiratory activity. That's a sign the patient is dead. This is what he writes here in the paragraph number two. If he shows signs of respiration, then what do? Immediately, you put him back in the ventilator, and the machine is allowed to assist him. And then, Rav Moshe said, he should continue to do this. Either the person will continue to breathe on his own, or will breathe on his own, or the person will not breathe on his own. And that's more or less how you determine whether the person is alive or the person is dead. You see what I mean? That's the second paragraph, more or less. Now, again, the problem is, again, what does Rav Moshe Feinstein's Talmud not mention in this paragraph? Heart function. And that's a massive problem. So, one second. So he, Rabbi Tema, understood this paragraph to mean that Rabbi Moshe was talking about a patient with a persistent heartbeat. Since a patient without a heartbeat is not ventilated, he's dead. So obviously we're talking about someone who has a heartbeat. And while a ventilator can provide oxygen, he can't make the heart pump. The heart is not going to pump because of a ventilator. So the problem is that if doctors determined that it was appropriate, let's say, to support this patient's breathing when he couldn't breathe otherwise, his heart must have been beating. That's his assumption in this paragraph. Because we're talking about a patient that we want to ventilate, we want him to breathe, etc., but apparently it's not clear whether he has his own spontaneous respiration, and therefore if we can go ahead and somehow ventilate him, so then perhaps, as shall we say, this person, despite the fact that he has a heartbeat, again, that's the patient which we're going to ventilate. Now, the difficulty with this paragraph has been pointed out by many, namely that Rav Moshe says here in this paragraph, he calls this patient as having no other signs of life, lelo simani chiyus. If he has a beating heart, how can you say lelo simani chiyus? But being medayik in loshen, if you don't mind. That's what you have to do. So, be great, go lador. So that's the problem. If we're talking about that absence of other signs of life, so then, despite a continued heartbeat, how could that be?
Could he be on a machine?
Could what?
Could he be on a machine for the heartbeat?
No.
Why not?
That is something which is not done. What is done is the respiratory element, that's for sure. The person goes on ventilators, other kind of machinery that they have today, but not for the heart. So this is a very difficult to understand this second paragraph here in the Tshuva of Kufan Beis. And the problem is that since he doesn't mention anything about a heartbeat, so the assumption is not like Rav Tema, but rather the assumption is that he has no heartbeat. That would be the simple assumption, as opposed to the other interpretation, talking about someone with a persistent heartbeat. And in general, that there's a another issue today, and unlike when Rabbi Feinstein wrote this Tshuva, which was written in 1976, oxygen is today supplied systematically to an entire hospital. Every patient room has all kinds of oxygen ports, and they can connect equipment to it. There's no need to replace oxygen tanks, and you don't shut machines off. None of that exists today. Everything is so automated in hospitals, and ventilators are also sophisticated enough to determine whether a person is breathing on his own. But the fact of the matter is that, whether or not Rav Moshe Feinstein would allow such a procedure, etc., this is a person who's hanging on to life, shall we say, by a thin hair. So it's not clear at all. As I said, there's also no discussion here whatsoever about organ donation. There's no discussion in this entire tshuva, and that Hashem was on the Rebbe Bar Zatzal, who's mayor in this tshuva, and we're going to discuss this as well, but there's not a word here. So there are two issues that are very significantly absent from the discussion. One is the issue of the heart functioning, and the second issue is in terms of organ donation. And at what point we can go ahead and, shall we say, donate this fellow's organs, one other thing I wanted to mention, and that's also in terms of this second paragraph, is that, again, if you take a look more carefully, again, you just have to read it with a, because that's what they have, that's how they read the Jewish Rav Moshe. They read it with a literally, Mamasha, a fine tooth comb. We're talking about the Gadol HaDor, and Gadol HaDor. Now, the question is whether the patient's heart is beating, as I say, whether circulating blood is taking place over here, and generally they usually, let's say even when a patient can't breathe, they will do an EKG, and the EKG rather, which will determine whether there's heart activity or not. That's what doctors generally do, electrocardiogram, and they can tell whether, again, there's heartbeat activity or there's no heartbeat activity. So, but the fact is you don't need an EKG to confirm cardiac activity. It means even assuming that it would not be relevant over here, but here you would still be able to determine heart functioning. So the question is, how do you resolve Rabbi Tamla's position that the Moshe argued here for determining death purely based on breathing, correct, despite a continued heartbeat, with the fact that Moshe says elsewhere that EKG evidence of cardiac function indicates life when a patient can no longer breathe? There are a lot of, shall we say, areas that are not clear in this entire tshuva. Rabbi Tendler understood this truth by Moshe to say that basically when a person stops breathing, that constitutes halach and death, and this is the issue, as I said, where it is very, very unclear, and we'll have to read the other, shall we say, the other truths as well in order to See about this. Now, but then the third paragraph. Yeah, what do you want to say? You want to say something?
Yeah.
The third paragraph also here needs also examination. Because the problem is, as I said, that let's say a patient is found to stop breathing. Okay? That's what we're talking about. But he did not previously suffer from brainstem failure. He was not someone who was brainstem dead. So the prognosis of his continued ability to breathe is almost always unknown. Will this person be able to breathe on his own, not be able to breathe on his own? The answer depends on many, many factors. It depends on his general health, depends on other conditions that are, and why did he stop breathing in the first place? I mean, there are many reasons why people stop breathing. And not all of them are fatal, and most of them, probably many of them, are subject to medical reversal. They can be actually undone by doctors who know what they're doing, who actually are competent doctors. So the problem is that even according to Rav Moshe, and we'll see in another tshuva, I have to Xerox actually two other tshuvas of you for you, and then we will examine them at great length. Even though he argues elsewhere that while cessation of respiration, as he does here, defines death, but it only qualifies when it's totally irreversible. And it might very well be that if there's evidence of heart activity or cardiac activity, so the person may still be very well be living. And therefore, you cannot determine just based purely on respiration that the person is no longer alive. And that what seems to emerge from this tshuva, which is a very difficult kind of position. And again, what would happen according to this tshuva, or if you will, another tshuva that I have to show you, let's say a person suffers from both respiratory and cardiac arrest. It means not only is he not breathing, but also his heart is no longer operating. So again, the question is, when we say that you need cardiac activity and in order to maintain life, do we also assume automatically that if I don't have cardiac activity, that automatically assumes that the person is no longer living? That's the question that we have to somehow determine. But there's no doubt, as I said, that we have two factors here. One factor is not mentioned here at all, almost. And the second factor, which is also a problem, is that there's nothing said about organ donation. And therefore, I'm just mentioning that once you reestablish the heartbeat, it's likely that then you have to go and do a thorough exam of the person and see where they're at medically. And if cardiac activity is available, and then the patient is ventilated, so then obviously if we then, through subsequent examination, determine that the person is no longer living, okay, that's one thing. But that's a major issue, which of course is missing over here in this particular tshuva. Okay, I believe that I want to say a few more things about this tshuva, and then I'm going to go to the three other tshuvas as well.